In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, first of all, a very, very warm welcome to you. It's great for Louis, my wife, who's sitting next to Robin there in the second row, and I to be with you today. We are delighted to be able to be with you today. We're in our sixth month now in my role as Archbishop. You might tell from my accent that I'm English, and we've spent the last 35 years in London. Louis would want to say very quickly that she's not a Londoner. She's from Surrey, and I'm from the south coast of England as well. So we've been around a bit, but it is genuinely a delight to be here. And I just want to pay my respects to your amazing vicar, who we've had the chance to get to know, and indeed Robin a bit as well. And you're in very, very good hands. So I just want to say that right from the beginning. And thank you, choir, for being amazing. It's such a treat to be able to worship with you today. So there are several things going on today that we're holding together. You are celebrating your patronal festival. It's been transferred from December the 27th. So you are like King Charles. You have two birthdays, an official one and an unofficial one. So it's great to be able to celebrate that with you today. So we remember in your patronal festival the Apostle John, the beloved disciple, the witness of love and truth and resurrection hope. But we're also observing Domestic Violence Sunday. We want to name a painful truth in our communities and affirm that violence has no place in the kingdom of Christ. And we're doing all of this here in this beautiful church at St. John's Toorak, a parish with a long memory, a living witness, and a future still being written. You've got some beautiful readings that I'd encourage you just to keep on reading and digesting. But they speak of the wisdom of God, delighting in creation in that Proverbs reading, of light shining in the darkness, the beauty of the church being the royal priesthood, a priest to the world to express the good news of Christ. And above all, that reading of an empty tomb that changes everything. John's Gospel dwells here in this chapter, chapter 20, on encountering love, on drawing people to Jesus. So what can we learn from the beloved disciple? That's how he chooses to describe himself, about being a disciple today. Well, we see three movements in this reading that I want to draw out. John runs. He sees and he believes. And because he believed, generations of people believing have followed. We read this gospel today as people in that line of those who have continued to believe because of John's belief and how he wrote that down in a gospel for us to read today. So I just want to unpack those three movements. The first one, running towards the risen Jesus. John hears Mary Magdalene's testimony that the tomb of Jesus is empty, that he has risen. And John's response is to run, not away, but towards. He doesn't fully understand what has happened, but his body like rushes towards Christ. I like to think about this as unrefined theology. It's trust in motion. In this chapter, we see that belief is born first, not by an explanation, but from an encounter. And faith begins when people turn towards life, even when they're unsure of what might come of it. John here shows and keeps on showing through his gospel that faith and love run faster than certainty and understanding. Not that those two things don't count, but that faith, putting our trust in God, comes first. So what does this mean for us? Well, it means like we're doing today, showing up for prayer, for worship, opening ourselves again to God's joy that wants to keep on growing in us. It's like a resurrection faith, a faith in the risen Jesus that is active, that is hopeful, that's embodied and makes a difference in the world. One of the joys of moving to Australia and coming to know some of your history is reading about some of the great people who have gone before us. I was reading about Caroline Chisholm, who was a prominent 19th century humanitarian and social reformer. She was known as the emigrant's friend, a woman of deep Christian faith and conviction. She ran towards human need rather than institutional safety. And her faith led her to care for vulnerable women and families and migrants in early Melbourne. Like St. John, she didn't wait for ideal conditions. She moved towards life when others were overwhelmed with hardship. And here at St. John's, every morning someone still runs towards Christ here, key in hand, unlocking the church doors so that Melbourne can pray. There's no applause, just faith in motion, trusting that Jesus will meet people. That's the first movement, running towards Jesus. The second one is seeing. We see here John is looking for life. Where there was once death, in the tomb, John sees life. He notices the grave clothes that are folded neatly, not like my bed in the morning. But they are emptied, these grave clothes are emptied of their purpose. They're lying flat. Again, he cannot fully comprehend what has happened, but he knows that there was once a dead body within those grave clothes, and now there was none. It's gone. Something profound has changed the course of history that he's seeing right there and then. Death has been defeated. You know, when I'm in doubt in my faith in God, I always come back to this moment, come back to the empty tomb. It cannot be explained away. This is at the heart of our faith. And resurrection reshapes how we live. We see the resurrection is proclaimed as something that is seen. John talks about it in his first letter as something seen and touched and shared. Psalm 97, we've had it sung to us, declares that righteousness and justice flow from the Lord's reign. The light of Christ exposes darkness without destroying the wounded. I mentioned at the beginning of my talk that today we mark Domestic Violence Sunday. Why? Why do we do that? Well, because domestic violence, whether it's against women or children or against men, is an evil that has no place in our world, nor in the church. It's something that the church has become expert in drawing attention to and making a declaration of the evil of it and doing something about it in our society. Domestic violence is characterized by oppression. It is an injustice. And God always shines light on injustice, unrighteousness, abuse. John's words again, in him there was no darkness at all. Domestic violence is by its nature hidden. And in the place of silence and isolation and shame and denial, it has thrived. It includes coercive control, emotional, verbal, financial, psychological, spiritual, physical and sexual abuse. And we in the church ought not to keep hiding this issue, denying its reality. Because God has never been silent on injustice. He's never blamed, shamed, silenced, or isolated victims. And if you have experienced this, statistics say that some of you will have done, I want to say this, that Jesus is on your side. The Spirit of Jesus is advocating for you. The Godhead hears you, sees you, cares for you. They are on the side of the oppressed. And if you need freedom, God's kingdom is for you. You are not unseen or forgotten. Have hope. The resurrection of Jesus doesn't minimize suffering. It names it truthfully and promises it will not win. For the church, proclaiming how the world should be, it involves shining a light on what is wrong with the world and with our relationships, including domestic violence. But also, we are here to point the way towards justice, towards the way of peace, just as Jesus did. Being true to God's proclamation for the world means engaging with issues like this one, seeking to understand it in order that we might deal with it, help those afflicted, and work towards a future where violence has no place. It means stepping up in our response as a church and repenting of where we have fallen short. People who know the risen Christ become people who refuse denial, who say, this is not how God created life to be. It will not be the end. That's why Louis and I have really come to love the work of Anglicare in Victoria, working for many years, sponsored and enabled and birthed in the church with survivors of family violence. They demonstrate that in Christ, dignity is restored. And the empty tomb that we remember today gives moral courage to stand against harm. So as disciples, we run towards Jesus. We see life where there is death. And thirdly, John encourages us to believe and be a witness. John, when he sees the folded grave clothes, he writes these words, he sees and believes. And he writes this gospel, he describes it at the end of this chapter, so that others may believe. Witness naturally flows from encounter. And Christian belief, Christian faith, is never a private faith. It becomes a shared hope. If you think how we're here today, it's because someone, maybe our parents, maybe a friend, shared that hope with us. And those around us have encouraged us to keep on experiencing that hope. It's interesting here to me that John doesn't describe his feelings. He records his faith for the sake of the church. And just right at the beginning of John's Gospel, one of my favourite verses, he encourages believers that whoever receives Jesus, whoever believes in his name, has the right to become a child of God. That's incredible. What a gift. What hope that our sins might be forgiven, that we can have a new life right now, a new life in God, and that we can have a hope for the future, free from fear, even the fear of death, because there is life with God after death. I am so grateful for those who have shared that hope with me. Louis, my wife, shared that hope with a friend of hers called Philippa. A few years later, I met Philippa. She shared that hope with me, invited me to church, where for me the penny dropped and I followed Jesus' invitation to follow him. And since that moment. Louis and I have had countless opportunities to help others to follow him too, as you might have done, in our families, with our neighbours, with those in the workplace where we've worked, and through the church. A resurrected church always looks outward, always looks for those opportunities to be a witness, not necessarily to be a great evangelist, but to say, this is what it means for me. We've just done a process of listening across the diocese called Listening in Lent. And amongst the over 2,700 responses to that listening exercise, some of the things that are coming through that listening exercise is that the church wants to be a prayerful church, a church that is equipped for mission, equipped to be able to witness to the world around us, with leaders who will help the church to be confident and healthy and forward-looking, who will even start new congregations to reach new people in new places, in new ways. A church that is younger and trusted and welcoming. John ran towards Christ. He recognized life where death had ruled, and he bore witness so that others could believe. And I think that remains the calling of St. John's Toorak and of the church today. Your name, the name of your church, is like an open invitation to be like John. John doesn't build a shrine around the grave clothes. He doesn't cling to the moment of belief for himself alone. He goes on to love, to testify, to lead others into the light of Christ. And so the question today is not only what John believed, but how we will respond. So St. John's Toorak, if I can address you, will you continue to run towards Christ, deepening your life of prayer and worship, not just out of habit, but out of love, stirring that love up in your hearts? Will you remain a community that names darkness honestly, that stands with the vulnerable, proclaims that harm and death do not have the final word? And will you believe boldly enough to invest in the future, in leaders for the church, in young people, in schools, in new expressions of church around here and across the diocese? Because resurrection faith is not passive. It moves, it speaks, it sees and builds. So on this, your patronal day, may we hear again the calling of John to know the risen Christ deeply and to make him known faithfully, so that others yet unseen may come to believe. John's words, that which we have seen and we heard, we proclaim to you. So may the joy of the risen Christ be our strength, our courage, and our hope. Amen.